Greetings, kindred witches, curious listeners, and new practitioners to the craft. Welcome to Atomic Witchcraft. Here, I share my experience as I build a modern-day, inclusive witchcraft practice rooted in nature's seasons, the celestial cycles, and the science of energy. Join me as we build a practice that learns from our past, is rooted in our present, and works towards building a better future, all while connecting deeply to the earth and sky around us. Let us begin a new era of witchcraft. This podcast is recorded on the homeland of the Duwamish people, and more broadly, the Coast Salish people, as well as many other indigenous tribes that make their home here in the Pacific Northwest, past, present, and future. As a spiritual being and steward of this land that I call home, I feel honored with the responsibility of caring for this piece of our planet. The Atomic Witchcraft team participates in Real Rent Duwamish as a way to compensate for the land that was stolen through violence and broken land treaties. I encourage you to look into and participate in Real Rent programs that support indigenous communities in your area. Please take a moment to join me in honoring the original stewards of the land on which you are residing, and a moment of gratitude for the earth itself and the bounty it provides. Please join me in words that work for you. To the ancestors that hold this ground, and for those spirits yet to come, may you fill me with guidance as I learn my place as a steward of this land and its creatures. In the gift of this role, I hold gratitude for all that surrounds me, for the water which cleanses me, for the earth's fruit which nourishes me, for the air that breathes life, for the fire that warms as it burns, and for the divine cosmos within. I am a child of the universe, at one with the trees and the stars. May the tides of the moon fill me with silver and the sunbeams tint me in gold. From light to dark, from birth to death, spring to winter, new moon to full, and back again. It is a beautiful world, one worth protecting. This I will, as within, so without, as above, so below, as I am, so mote it be. Good moon, witches, and welcome to our hearth, virtual as it is. Just this week, our skies were filled with the opulence of a super blue moon. If you're on Patreon or our Facebook, you might have read a post all about our moons and energy and the punch it packs. So since this moon is at its closest place in orbit to the Earth, not only does the moon appear larger in the sky, its gravitational pull is the closest it gets, exerting even more influence over the tides here on Earth, literal or metaphysical. Maybe you noticed lots of chaotic or surplus energy this past week, or for some it manifests in the exact opposite way, pulling deeply on reserves, leaving you with the need for rest. For myself, I have to say that those few nights felt like I was a charging battery in my sleep, and I also experienced some of that chaotic energy in the strange car noises and chirping smoke alarms. That being said, I am definitely ready for this full moon energy to shake its way out into the cosmos as we move into a waning phase. Here, under this moon, we see the energy from the full moon really start to manifest. This is the moment to give action to your spells or put an extra intent into the world. Consider this the lunar harvest moment before we release what we don't need and settle in for a little new moon rest. For those of you in the southern hemisphere moving into spring, a waning moon is a great time to brew on what needs to be cleared away. As the spring equinox approaches, it will be time for spring cleaning before planting anything significant. These are also the last few weeks of shaking off a winter slumber before the energy of spring and summer swing into full force. Use this time for rest as we consider what comes next. For those of us in this northern hemisphere, a waning moon during a waning season. It's a dual force here, an amplification, a use it or lose it sort of energy as harvests start to turn over-ripen on the vine. This is the moment to push seasonal spell work to the finish line, harvesting what we can and taking note of what we will need to just release once the fall equinox hits. The key here is not to spend more energy than we need to. As we think of harvesting, we also think of storing for the seasons ahead. Consider how you might apply this to your own energy and spell work. Lunar tides be with you. The illuminated glow of a full moon always brings to mind images of witch for me. Circles of candles under moonlit skies, the deep breath of basking in the silver-hued rays, and the delightful imagery of witch atop their broom, gliding effortlessly across the night skies. And I know the last one is just kind of a popular trope, but the witch and their broom are common images in witchcraft. Brooms go beyond a cool ride, though, into a deeper rooted practice and a metaphysical tool with many properties. Historically, brooms or besoms are used in everything from cleansing and protection magic to marriage rites. Keep in mind, images of witch and their brooms are relatively new compared to the cultural significance in history. Brooms and besoms generally consist of gathered and bound twigs, straw, or other long-hewn strands, think heather, manifesting in many shapes and sizes. The most notable difference being then whether the gathering lies flat, like we see in our more modern brooms, or more round, the gathered shape of the besom, which is used more historically. There are also hand whisks and other variations on size and shape, all of which use varying nomenclature. These tools offer both practical and metaphysical benefits, which make them a unique tool in the witch's arsenal. Brooms placed above or next to doorways are said to ward that entrance, while sweeping a space with a charged broom is said to cleanse the space, both literally and figuratively, as chaotic energy and dust balls are best friends. In modern witchcraft, I also like to consider the broom as an imbued object, one that holds a little of my energy and magic, a way to store and tap into resources and strength when we need it. In sci-fi fantasy terms, it might be akin to the wizard staff, a tool that both stores and channels energy as a conduit. One of my favorite examples of this actually comes from pop culture in the movie Practical Magic. There is a moment during a banishing circle where they ask their witches to bring their brooms, and over locking them together, they create a boundary for their work. This interwoven connection of imbued objects creates a new dynamic of energy, one I highly recommend trying for yourself. Brooms are often used to cleanse a space, literally, and charge it with a little neutralizing vibrations, and it will do wonders at cleansing the energy as well. Banishing may involve sweeping objects or energies out the door and across a stoop. Because of this correlation of brooms and doorways, brooms serve a really unique tool in liminal spaces. Whether in dreams, the astral, or the physical, their energy comes from and is apart from each plane, kind of interwoven together. And this means that you might want to incorporate a broom into your astral home or keeping it with you if you're traveling along the astral plane. Brooms can protect, cleanse, work as tethers, energy containers, so much more. Did I mention they're one of my favorite tools? Another thought that I like to consider is the role of the broom, whether past or held during storytelling. You know, for me, a deep part of being witch is to be a keeper of knowledge, truth, and story. It speaks to my love of both hearing and sharing wisdom and dreams. Witch as a keeper of what was, what is, and what we dare to believe. It's the stories we tell ourselves of fantasy and fiction. It's the story we write with our actions in our day-to-day lives. And it's the story we hold in our dreams as we seek to imagine a future. The broom with its bound strands, each strand a story woven together, branching off like strings of time. New paths intertwined, touching, glimpsing. They're bound together there, these stories, never to be forgotten while the witch holds them. No matter how they are used, brooms should be unique to the individual. Personal flair is key here and may even be unique to the season or occasion, depending on how you plan to use the broom. As I mentioned, brooms may be one of my favorite tools, so much so that I have several of them hanging in my house, as well as ones that are part of my deeper magics. All of these brooms have their own unique touch to them. For magical brooms, these should feel good in your hand and attuned to your energy. I admit these are not easy finds. I am still on the search for mine for this phase of my life and the stories and wisdom I want to keep right now. But they are true treasures when you find just the right fit. You may or may not choose to adorn your magical broom. You will want it to be something you can move with and work with, so save your delicate decorations for your stationary protection wards and ceremony brooms. Instead, focus on the makings of this broom, you know, the tree it came from, the craftsmanship, including the power of making your own. With the seasonal or stationary ward brooms, those may become part of a set of imbued objects that you might use to decorate your home as a way to bring in the intent of the coming season. Think wreaths, altar decorations, those kinds of things. It provides a sense of change and the wheel turning, even indoors. These seasonal brooms also act as wards for protections for the spaces for which they are hung in. Each season, these wards are refreshed as like, I'll switch out the broom and refresh the energy, doing a little zhuzh on the broom's visuals and craft as well, you know, taking a moment there and switching things out as needed. I then walk the space and kind of lock it by placing the broom in its place. I also have a broom over my bed, specifically adorned and charged for protection in the dream space. I admit I tried to do some digging on the origins of decorating brooms. Some references allude to the Shakers dyeing elements of their brooms when first arriving to North America. And while the history here is a little hard to unearth, I want to be cautious to approach this process with respect. And I encourage you to do so as well. Personally, the craft decoration of brooms is something I observed from my mom and her friends growing up. They would gather to chat, tell stories, and craft brooms, wreaths, hats, you name it. And in those moments, they were connected, each creating on their own, but sharing in story, thought, and a creative vibe of the moment. Today, during community time, I will be working on a broom I am decorating, but we invite you to grab a craft of any kind, from crocheting to coloring, from building to drawing, anything that ignites your creative spark. We'll spend our community time today talking and crafting, a way to busy our hands and minds so that our hearts and intuition may speak.
Welcome back, all. Alyssa here again with Witch in Action, in which I share some ways that you can integrate mindful living into your practice. Now, the suggestions I make may not suit everybody or everybody. I acknowledge that everyone has their journey, and sometimes certain sustainable living practices may not suit that journey. It's not about perfection. It's about doing just a little bit better and allowing grace for those who are unable to. Since we've talked a little bit about crafting today, and we're going to be doing some crafting during our community time, I thought I would offer some tips on how to make your projects more sustainable and eco-friendly. My first consideration when embarking on a new project, and goodness knows I am always embarking on a new project, is where am I getting my materials from? I love trying to find items that I need secondhand. Many thrift stores have a small art supply section that will often contain either really basic materials or sometimes the occasional really unique piece. I also love to browse sheets and tablecloths for lengths of fabric that would be expensive to buy new. I have been fortunate enough to live in places that have entire secondhand craft stores. In fact, there's a wonderful one here in Seattle called Recreative that I could honestly spend hours in exploring all of their treasures. Free exchange groups are another great source for secondhand items. I've acquired things from masses of newspaper to do paper mache to random assortment of socks to make sock puppets with kids. It's great, and people are more than happy to help give away what they need or what you need. And then, of course, if I can't find what I need using those routes, my next stop is usually a locally owned store where I can shop for new supplies. And then, of course, if I have to, a craft chain store, which I will admit I do love going in the Michaels and Joann's and browsing and seeing what they have. My next consideration for a project is what kind of material am I going to be using? I try to use natural materials as much as possible. So for fabrics, this would mean buying cotton or linen or wool instead of polyester or rayon. And besides, trying to sew synthetic material is a literal nightmare. For decor projects, I may go with wood, twine, dried mosses, natural clay, etc., etc. Really, whatever is going to best serve the craft that I am making. Now, I'm about to make a controversial statement. Using plastic materials in a craft project is okay. I know, I said it. I recently heard a statement that got me thinking. Plastic has its place. To me, this is not about demonizing plastic, but rather turning it around and utilizing it in a mindful way. The issue with this particular material is that people are so quick to dispose of it when they're through because it's just plastic. It holds no value, so you can just throw those flake flowers away that you bought 6 months ago if you don't like them anymore, right? Well, I'm here to say don't throw away those cheap plastic items. Keep reusing them until you literally can't anymore. I have repainted fake plants to completely change the seasonal feel of them, or pulled apart decorations to incorporate them into a costume. Even I've built an entirely new Halloween decoration on top of a different decoration I had made using that as the base. And the reason I was able to do that was the longevity that came with the synthetic materials I'd used in the first design. As long as you keep using it mindfully, plastic can serve its place in a craft. Do you have any projects planned for this fall? How are some ways that you can rethink the approach to your supplies using the tips above? Do you have any items in your home that you can already use? Have fun and happy crafting.
To tee up our next Sunday Haven, currently planned for Sunday, September 17th, so just following the upcoming new moon. As always, what makes Atomic Witchcraft thrive is all of you. So please join us again, engage us with your questions and thoughts anytime, and consider tossing a coin to your witches if you're able. The QR code here takes you to our Patreon. Now, for a moment, let's hold our virtual hands a little tighter before letting go, to step back into our days. We hope today's Haven has deepened connections to our world and each other a little bit further. Thanks again.
As we wrap today, the team at Atomic Witchcraft thanks you for listening. We are looking forward to exploring this new path with you and would love to connect via social media or Patreon. Linktree is in the bios. Access is always free, and we work to harbor a safe hearth for all. As above, so below. As within, so without. As we end, so we begin.